And our buddy Jason Kanz is on the line for the best 5 minutes of the day, which was 8 minutes yesterday. Good morning to you.
I saw that it's on its way to 90s today. Is that right?
That is correct. Yeah.
Oh,
so warm weather, and then it's going to kind of break with some storms that could be severe tonight. So,
all right.
They're already talking about large hail, and so anyhow. But
okay.
This is the birth anniversary of a lot of funny folks, actually. So this my feel old birthday of the day is Jerry Mathers. Yes, Leave It to Beaver. 72 today. The Beav is 72.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's hard to believe. I remember him just as a little boy, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he kind of gets stuck there. Dana Carvey, 65, did a very good George Herbert Walker Bush, remember?
Oh, yes, absolutely. He was a very good impressionist, I think. But, yeah.
He got to do it, like, in the president's presence. And then Wayne Brady, 48.
Huh.
Kind of an improv guy. All right, had his own talk show. But I want to, you know, we've got a lot of problems, if people haven't noticed, a lot of issues and challenges these days. But there was a story I posted on Facebook, thanks to my boss from One Source Imaging, Chris Solberg, for finding this. It's a piece called An Absolute Gift, Southwest Flight Attendant, American Airlines CEO of Emotional Racism Talk at 30,000 Feet. It involves relationship, which we try to model here earlier in the morning with our chatting with each other, but also a book and I think a kind of a way forward. So I want to get your reaction. It reads like this.
Sure.
USA Today piece, I believe it is, originally. Yeah, anyhow, Southwest Airlines flight attendant Jacques Ray Hill was fed up and feeling defeated by the radical unrest gripping the country before her shift began. On Friday, the 38-year-old Dallas woman who's African-American ended the day in high spirits thanks to a 10-minute conversation sparked by a book in the seat back pocket of a passenger in row 25 on a flight to Florida. Hill said to the USA Today, "It changed how I was thinking and what I was thinking. It's been such a blessing to me." Turns out the passenger, Doug Parker, the white CEO of Southwest rival American Airlines. Parker was flying Southwest because his airline's flight to Panama City was booked, was equally moved, recalling the encounter as an absolute gift to me in an email to other American executives. The exchange obviously coming amidst these racial tensions. Parker had packed the best-selling book on racism, White Fragility, Why It's So Hard for White People to Talk About Racism by Robin DiAngelo in his backpack for a flight to Florida. He had kind of put it aside during COVID-19, like a lot of us had probably put aside things we were doing as we were kind of engulfed with all that. But the bottom line is that Jacques Ray Hill saw the book, and at one point she spoke up and she asked about it some. He ends up telling her, really impactful. And then wearing a mask as she was, but at least her eyes being seen, she just kind of burst into tears, Jason. And they end up having this tremendous conversation. Turns out her mom works for the airline, for American, that this guy heads up, Doug Parker. She works for Southwest. But to me, doesn't that kind of, it's the whole subject of white fragility is this idea of, as the title of the book talks about, why we Caucasians maybe have a difficult time grasping the idea. Me have racist attitudes, but then it led to conversation. And isn't that the way forward?
Well, and it's interesting as you're talking about that. I think first, absolutely, I think that's part of the way forward. But it seems to start with a question, and if I recall, and for me, I think, again, that's such an important part of our way forward is sacred curiosity, a willingness to ask and listen without prejudgment. And I think that we have to bring a real humility to that. And I think humility in conversations like that and a willingness to listen can bring healing if we will allow it to do so.
Mm-hmm. There was something from Brené Brown that I'd posted on Facebook. You were one of the first people to like it. But it was this idea, and this is a speaker. I can't remember his name now. But he'd come to UW-Eau Claire this year, and he'd written a book about how to be an anti-racist. But and Brené Brown celebrated this and said this was her organization. This was the latest book that they'd read and talked about. But it was saying this along the lines of that just to say you're not racist is sort of neutral, but to be, and I guess the concept, and I haven't read the book, but the idea is she has, the idea of being anti-racist, and again, is the idea of being on the, I want to go well beyond just kind of a neutrality that says, hey, I'm not a member of the KKK, right?
Right. Yeah, you know, and I think that's spot on, and I think that's one of the things, you know, I mentioned that sacred curiosity. I think as majority citizens, we have to be curious about our own stuff, too. I don't think it does us any good to just say, nope, you know, I view everybody the same, or I'm not this way. I think we have to ask hard questions of ourselves and do the hard work. And I think in order to move toward being anti-racist, we're going to have to do some of that hard work.
Finally, what a turnout the last couple of days on Sunday. I mean, they say 1,000 people marching from Phoenix Park to Owen Park. And then yesterday, maybe not quite as many, but just quite a turnout for this vigil. We'll hear some of the audio this morning, courtesy of WEAU-TV, but at Phoenix Park for 1 week since the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. So people are responding.
Yeah. Well, I think I had seen pictures from London and from New Zealand as well. So this is spreading. I mean, it's. I think I wonder sometimes we get movements that go in fits and starts, and who knows what tomorrow will bring. But how can we stay present to loving one another well today, I think is good for us to try to remember.
And we'll close on this, but I mean, so many people said coming out of COVID, they said, boy, this is an opportunity for the church. And so as we ride through this, and now, you know, from COVID to massive job loss, and now this racial rupture, you know, becoming so apparent. I mean, we need to deal with ourselves, our marriages, our families, our church, and then turning lovingly to the outs, to the watching world. Similarly, yeah. Right? Si?
Yeah, absolutely. And I there's that, you know, it's almost a cliche, but it begins at home. You know, mm-hmm. But there's a lot to be said for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot about how do I make my space beautiful, loving and welcome, and
yeah,
let it flow out from there.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jason. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Good morning to Hillary.
Good morning, Mark.
Our question of the morning, hey, it is the second day of June Dairy Month, and yesterday was just coming off all the craziness of the weekend, so I thought I would ask today at 715-396-1670, what's your favorite dairy product?
You know, there are some dairy products that I strongly dislike, and I have others that I strongly like. There's nothing that's really like in between. I am a lover of cheese, for sure. I do love cheese.
Yeah.
Specifically, smoked string cheese.
Okay.
Is
there we
so
go. That's
good.
Specific. Yeah.
That's, yeah. I do really, really enjoy ice cream as well, but, you know, obviously, I don't eat it as much as I.
Selectively.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
but
right.
I think the string cheese, too, because, too, it's such a nice little, like, serving size. So you don't just gorge on
that's
it. You
good.
Can just have your one. So it's like the perfect dairy food for me because it's got the flavor. It's got the goodness, the creaminess, but then it's packaged in a nice little serving size, too.
A very good answer. Bob in Rice Lake says it's in June. It's definitely ice cream. Two for Tuesday and two happy faces. So it looks like those two people
delicious.
Just had some ice cream cones. Bob's got a birthday in June.
Nice.
I think 8 days away. I want to say June the 10th. So anyhow, happy birthday early to him.
Mm.
All right, 6:33 here at WWIB. Well, I think we can fill people in on what's special. What special events about June 2nd?
Ooh, it is Leave the Office Early Day.
All right. It's Bubba Day.
I don't know what that means. But have you ever actually met someone whose name is Bubba?
I don't know. Bubba Watson's a golfer. I remember Bubba Smith was a football player.
So I go to visit my grandma in Arkansas. And let me tell you, there really are people down there.
It's kind of a fun name.
Bubba.
Yeah.
This is Bubba. Really?
Yeah.
Yep. Rotisserie Chicken Day.
It is, I think we can say it's Gun Violence Awareness Day.
Perfect. Rocky Road Ice Cream Day.
There we go.
Delicious. Mm-hmm. Grab a spoon, friends.
Very good. Thank you, Hillary.
Thank you.
Well, it is June Dairy Month, and it's the 2nd of June already. This is going to be the warmest day of the year so far. I'm talking 95 degrees and something.
You know, last night, Dean and I sat out on the deck for a long time. We just sat on the deck talking, but it was like 80 degrees. It did not feel like it. I didn't think it felt as warm as it was, but, you know, whatever.
This morning felt fairly warm already.
Yeah, yeah.
The temperature's been climbing. Anyway, we're asking you this morning on the Wake Up Show Facebook page, as well as on our listener line at 715-396-1670. What's your favorite dairy treat? And, we got a listener from Eau Claire who weighed in.
Hey, this is Jason Cans calling. My favorite dairy product would be cheese curds. I love Ellsworth cheese curds, local, but I grew up in Gibbsville, Wisconsin, and basically any of the cheese that they make. I sometimes feel like I am keeping the dairy business partially afloat just by the amount of cheese that I eat. Thank you, farmers.
And Caleb, you said some other folks weighing in on the Facebook page?
Yeah, on the WIB Wake Up Show Facebook page. Again, we have that post, Let's Celebrate June Dairy Month, and tell us your favorite dairy treat. Anna says cheese curds or ice cream. Marietta says cheese. Christine just posted a GIF of cheese curds being pulled apart over a little jar of marinara sauce. Betty says cheese curds, ice cream. Jolene says cheese curds. She adds malt and root beer floats.
Oh, delicious.
Again, dairy products essential for those.
Does cheese cake count? Because cheese,
I sure
cake.
Think
go
it
for
could.
It. That's pretty yummy. That's pretty delicious. Hey, a punch in the gut yesterday with the announcement of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair.
Yeah.
Not going to happen this year. Boy, those Optimist Club cheese curds, a tradition,
yeah.
Right? Those
for
are so
me,
good.
For sure.
Those
yeah.
Nice and hot. And
you know, we're kind of thinking in our house, we might have a fair food Friday where we actually like get out a fryer. It'll probably be on a Friday.
Yeah.
Get out a couple of fryers and just deep fry. We could do deep fried cheese curds and corn dogs and
it seems like
all kinds of stuff.
I say this with the most love and admiration. It's sometimes like your family has a PR agency that you guys have the takeout Friday, and it's just like, we're going to have a fair. I'm just like, yes, brilliant. That's, you just kind of model the way for us.
Well, we got to embrace it somehow.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know?
Well,
so,
I mean, I'm going to miss fair food a lot this year. It's going to be a different summer. So.
Maybe we should just like line up all the fryers at my house and everyone bring.
All the fryers 6 feet apart.
Yeah. But everyone bring different ingredients, and that might be kind of a fun little gathering.
Yeah. I like the mushrooms dipped. You can get cauliflower.
Yum.
Yeah, that's terrific. So
good. Uh-huh. You know what's really good, Mark?
Huh.
Deep fried spam curds. You take that spam,
Caleb,
you cube it up,
just,
you batter it. You
she has a story for everything, and she's got some kind of spam
some
time.
Some spam time, yes.
It is Dairy Month. We do want to continue to hear what your favorite dairy products are as we support our dairy farmers here in the dairy state. Well, it seems like everyone is getting creative these days with social distancing because it's hard to always be able to tell, like, are we too close? Are we too close? Are we too far? You know.
And trying to keep things in mind. And again,
right.
Philippians 2:4 and thinking of others before yourselves.
Right. And I mean, I saw a while back there was a restaurant over in Germany that was making hats with pool noodle extensions on them to keep everyone distance. That was cute. Burger King has now come out with, you know, the paper crowns they have at Burger King?
I always like those.
I do, too. They now have social distancing crowns that they have extended, so it's a giant brim, sombrero-esque,
wow.
If you will.
Try walking through sliding doors with that.
To keep people socially distanced. I think it's quirky and fun. I enjoy it.
So you're going to wear one?
I mean, if given the opportunity,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, of course, there's that picture going all around Facebook of the guy who was in Target or something like that, and he had those pool noodles
yes!
stretching out from his
yes!
his crown to keep everybody at bay.
Right.
Disney World in Orlando, they're scheduled to reopen until July, but some of their shops and restaurants back up and running. So the way they are enforcing, here the air quotes, social distancing is to have some first order stormtroopers remind people to keep a little space, including one stormtrooper saying to the other, yeah, I'm going to need you to move one Bantha link away, please.
I want a stormtrooper to enforce anything. It's Star Wars.
Right?
He's super fun.
To me, I mean, it's encouraging seeing society open more and more. We do have, obviously, some cancellations. We had the fair yesterday, and obviously another significant music festival nixed itself for the summer. But at the same time, you know, it is striking, though, the two big vigils that have happened in Eau Claire last couple of days. A lot of people wearing masks for those.
Yeah. So people
that's
are
been noteworthy.
Trying to be mindful, and that's all we can do in this, I think.
Well, I don't know if this is a sport that Mark would like to try or that Hillary and I should try, because of the three of us, I believe Mark is the only one who golfs with any sort of regularity. And even that, I don't know if it's a lot,
and not last year and once this year. So not much, not much.
So I have never officially gone golfing, which is probably kind of odd. Hillary, have you?
I have gone golfing actually several times.
Okay.
But I'm a fickle golfer. I only like to golf when the weather is not too hot and not too cold and not too rainy, but not too sunny. And mostly it was an excuse to walk around with my friend Amy.
All right.
So there's that.
Well, there's a new sport. It is a variation of golf. It's called Flogton, which isn't as painful as it sounds. Flogton is simply not golf spelled backwards. Some of the rules of Flogton, you get a mulligan on every hole.
Okay.
Huh, that's
What's
good.
A mulligan?
You get to do it over. Like you hit a bad drive and then you do it over as taking a mulligan.
And usually, and I don't know if it's like gentleman or gentlewoman's rules.
You get one per round.
Yeah, one per round. So if you get a really bad shot, you get one.
Yeah.
Nice.
You get a mulligan on every hole in Flogton.
Nice.
The ball can be teed up anywhere, put it on tee anywhere other than the green, because the greenskeepers probably aren't real wild about that.
Sure.
But yeah, you can tee it anywhere you want.
Nice.
So
it's like,
so Flogton isn't golf, but you play it on a golf course?
Yes.
Okay.
Basically, it's just a far simpler, less frustrating version of golf.
It sounds to me like more of like miniature golf. On a large scale, you know, because, I mean, like, when we play miniature golf, like, you just whack the ball around, whatever.
There you go. Skip golf, play Flogton. The third putt, always good. So if you three putt,
nice.
Again, that keeps you from getting
rules.
The 11s and 12s.
I think that we, the three of us, should go golfing, and you should play golf, Mark, but Caleb and I should play Flogton rules.
Right. Can we start with mini golf first or putt-putt and try that?
I think Harvey Penick wrote the book A Good Walk Spoiled. Now, he loved golf, and it's a good little book, but the fact of the matter is that, yeah, you can be in a good, and it can mess with you, right?
Mm.
But there's so many great metaphors to life in terms of, you know, life, you want to keep it in the fairway in life, and so I love... As you're giving this, I'm like, this is a game of grace.
Right. Yes.
Because mulligans and third putt is in, and so this is good.
And you think about, you know, again, from Jonah, like, stuck in the miry clay, and he put my feet upon a rock, firm place to stand, and in the Psalms, all of that. Well, in Flogton, when you're stuck in a bunker, just pick up the ball and toss it back onto the edge of the green.
And there some people do that already. I mean, some people already play Flogton.
In case there's enough stress in your life, but you still want to go golfing, try Flogton.
There you go.
Sounds like the game for me. I'm just saying. I think it'd be a good fit.
Familiar music, especially if you're a little older. A show I was not when it was syndication, I don't know, 50s, 60s. But here's the deal. Jerry Mathers, he played the Beeve on TV. And really, he was destined to never really be able to play any other role, right? It was just so tied to him.
It's so sad when that happens to actors and actresses.
He's 72 today.
Wow.
Yeah, he doesn't stay. You know, you could still watch the reruns on TV Land or something, but...
That's where I saw him, yeah.
The Beaver is 72.
I mean, I'm nowhere near that, but it just makes me feel old.
Right,
I think there are certain shows that are just... an integral part of Americana. I think of Leave It to Beaver. I think of the Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah.
I mean, those are some of the ones that just, it's woven kind of into our entertainment fabric.
Absolutely. So, and to tell you what, it'd be interesting to try to, as we keep track of birthdays throughout the year, is there another, like, three pretty funny fellas today. You got, Jerry Mathers is a comedic actor, I guess. But Dana Carvey, 65 today.
Aw, Dana Carvey.
SNL doing his... enough to join the Turtle Club?
No
one's ever seen. It's called Master of Disguise. It's like a B movie, but
that was a great.
I'm thinking
impression.
SNL doing his George Herbert Walker Bush. You know,
yes, Wayne's World.
Yeah, right. He's 65, and he's actually.
How old is he?
He's 65.
No.
About doing an impression of somebody like a president in their presence? I mean, that's got to feel.
Oh wow,
that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, that
amazing.
Is, and he's got. There's a good story with all that. And Wayne Brady, back from Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yes.
His own talk show, 48.
Wow.
But very quick-witted, so.
Oh, funny people.
We could use some humor in the times we're living in, boy.
Aren't we really, though?
People are really. I like a post you made in terms of just the way you weaved in. I saw it on your personal Facebook page, weaving in love and some of the different challenges we're facing right now. So that was good.
So many layers against what we're going through, but we have the word, and that's what we go back to, our rock and foundation.
Right. And again, as you were quoting 1 Corinthians 13 in there, and it was like, be patient, be kind. And so. Mm-hmm. Stress reliever. That's what humor is, right? Stress reliever.
Yes, laughter is the great stress reliever.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn Radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.